Good morning. It is now time for worship. We're glad to see all of you. And I have a long list of announcements. After church today, there is ad board. I'd like to thank Rick for the fine job that he did last week. He was even acolyte, besides being pastoring. Please sign their registration pads and please enter your prayer request for September on the prayer list found in the back. Also, you noticed on your prayer list in your bulletin all the people to pray for, and I think it is so interesting to read what comes out of our prayer box. There's birthday cards and note cards for people having birthdays in the coming month. Chair people, please check your mailbox in the office. And I noticed last Sunday after church, when I made that announcement, there was just a rush to get in the office to check their mailboxes. So I praise all the people that did that last week. Next Sunday is our brunch after service. So we hope to see all of you. I noticed that a few of you did sign on the list what you're planning on bringing. So if you haven't done that, please do that after church on the table where the note cards are. Oh, I thought he was raising his hand. I guess he wasn't. We need cookies for the coffee bar. Remember last week it said homemade cookies. This week it just says cookies. Then maybe I could bring some. Try being a liturgist or an usher. You'll find out how much fun it is to stand up here and read from the Bible or to help people get to their seats. So if you haven't done that in a while, that would be a good thing. I also showed this sign last week. It's thanking the Saugatuck United Methodist Church for doing 100%, and I see we're back to apportionments now, not ministry shares, 100% for our giving. And that's a pretty big milestone that a church this size can pay 100%. So I think that's a celebration that we need to keep in our minds. Are there any other announcements? Any joys? Concerns? Harvey? I love that holy city. I did say ad board after church, didn't I? Okay. Well, then let's ring the bell. Thank you. all who have known the grace and mercy of the Lord, give praise. Yet God's love for us is greater than all the sin in the world.
And all who accept Christ know that God's love and grace are real.
Let us rejoice and give praise for the redeeming love of God.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Let's continue with the opening prayer. O God, in Christ, you open the way for us to receive your restoring grace, if only repent and live for you. Give us courage to entrust all we are and ever will be to you. In Christ we pray. Amen. Hymn of Praise, God of Grace and God of Glory, found on 577. Sounded really good, too.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you this morning. I want to say thank you to Rick for preaching last Sunday and taking over a lot of the leadership for the worship service. Mary and I were in Iowa. Family gathering for the Sparks side of the family. And you know, this has always been my pet peeve, that whenever they do anything out there as a family, it's always on Sunday. And over the years, that's made it difficult for us to be there. And some of those people we had not seen for a year, because we think we were there last year, right? But So that Mary's brother was not at the gathering, and we didn't think too much about it because he's been sick, but everybody said, no, saw him a week or two ago and he was doing fine. After we got back to Michigan, we found out that he'd gone into the hospital. He has been battling pancreatic cancer, and he's been doing well, but he had some complications, we think, from the chemotherapy that he's been getting, but since we've been out there, he had some rough days. He seems to be doing a little bit better now, but if you think the Lord reminds him of Larry, his name is Larry Sparks, please remember him in your prayers. But it was good for us to be out there. New watches are something else. And the reason I have one is my son convinced me I ought to get one to help me with my exercising and that kind of thing to keep track of it. So this morning when we were getting into the car to go to church, I felt this little vibration on my arm. That means my watch has a message for me. And I looked down, and it said 52 minutes to Saugatuck. The watch knew where I was going. I'm going to talk more about knowing where we're going or what we're supposed to be about later in the service. But I thought that was uncanny that the watch would know where I was going. That says I'm a creature of habit, I think. It's a good habit. So I'd like to invite you to a time of prayer. We'll have our silent prayers. We'll share the Lord's Prayer together after the pastoral prayer, and then sing the chorus, Fill My Cup. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day. We're thankful for your great love for us, made real through your Son Jesus, his life, his teaching, his death on the cross, his resurrection with power, his ascension. And we're thankful for the gift of your Spirit among us, helps us to experience your love in our lives, gives us understanding of your word, and gives us counsel and guidance for our lives. We're grateful for your grace and mercy and love that we have experienced, and so we give you praise and thanks. We're also grateful for the gifts of life, of our family and friends, health and strength, opportunities to work and serve, so many gifts of your grace that we experience daily but are not always aware. We give you thanks and we praise you for your goodness. At the same time, we ask for your forgiveness because we have done that which is wrong, not always doing the good we should do. We ask for the empowerment of your Spirit in our lives, enabling us to live more in harmony with your word and with your will. We're grateful that you're a God who cares about people. We do offer prayers for those who are on our prayer list, those whose concerns we carry in our hearts. We offer special prayers for the people of the South, where the hurricane has been. We pray for those who have lost so much and where so much help is needed. we pray for them, and we pray for those who are working to help. We offer prayers for our world because we know there are others who hurt as well. And some are in faraway places and some are closer to our homes. We offer prayers and pray that you would help us to do what we can to make a difference for them. We offer prayers for our nation and our leaders, praying for your wisdom and guidance. We offer prayers for the church, your church, that larger church that includes many different churches. We pray for the churches in our area. We ask your blessing upon them and pray that you would use them and us together to share your love and witness to what you can do in people's lives. We pray for our United Methodist Church that in this time of division and decision, that you would work to bring out the very best possible for everyone that's involved. We pray for our West Michigan Conference, our pastors and bishop and district superintendents, for our lay people. Help us to know your will and way for us. We offer prayers for this gathering of your people. We pray that you might speak to us through your word, through your messenger, and through the acts of worship. Help us to receive that word, that message, that experience of your grace and love in our lives today, so that you might use us in ministry to people that come in contact to us in our lives. We ask now that you would hear us as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Invite you for a prayer of healing, and we'll follow the pattern that we have for some time now. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together. Dear Lord, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. This morning we pray for Lord, in your mercy.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 10. That's found on page 74 in the New Testament. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there's more joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This time our usher will wait upon us and we will receive our offering.
Thank you.
God, it's our prayer that you would accept the gifts that we offer this morning. Bless them and use them and us in your service to your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we'll sing 365, Grace Greater Than Our Sin. Scripture this morning is found in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. Paul's first letter to Timothy. Really, it's addressed to Timothy, but it was intended to be read to the church at Ephesus. Beginning with verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of
Christ Jesus, our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Christ Jesus, our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversy rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this commandment is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to a meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they're talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine that conforms to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. In verse 12, Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that you would speak to us anew through your word and through your messenger. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about what I wanted to preach about this fall. And originally, I thought I would preach from 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is one of three letters that Paul wrote that are sometimes called the pastoral epistles or the pastoral letters, 1 and 2 Timothy in the book of Titus. Titus is very small. And so my decision was to preach a series of sermons not directly connected from those three letters of Paul. Paul, in writing these letters, primarily Timothy and the church at Ephesus are the recipients, he is dealing with false teachers. And he's also giving instructions for how one in the church is supposed to live. And he is also giving that mentoring advice to Timothy, who he considers to be his spiritual son. So this morning, I want to begin that talking about Paul's call to ministry, I guess, which is really, really everyone's call to ministry. As followers of Jesus, we are called to serve him. And there is a task, usually more than one, that we are given to do. So, you know, the first idea is having a purpose knowing where we're going. That's why I was amused by my watch reminding me where I was going this morning. You think I could have gotten that car with my wife by my side and drove someplace else besides here? I don't think so. But my watch kind of jiggled and said, this is how long it's going to take you to get there. I read a story about the late Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes. I don't know exactly when he was on the Supreme Court, but it was some time ago. And he was traveling on a train, and the conductor came, as they did in those days, and wanted his ticket. He couldn't find it. He went through his pockets. He went through his billfold. He couldn't find his ticket. And the conductor said, Judge, don't worry about it. The railroad will trust you. When you get home and find a ticket, you can just send it to us. It's fine. And the judge smiled at the conductor's kindness, but he was still upset. And he said, my dear man, my problem is not where is my ticket. My problem is, where am I going? Have you ever had that feeling? Where am I going? I'm glad I still knew this morning when I was sliding into the car, I knew where I was going. And once in a while, Mary will catch me making a wrong turn. You know, when you come from our place to Saugatuck, the route we go over the expressway, we make a left turn, and we go a little ways, then we make a right turn towards Hopkins. But if we're not careful, if you just keep going straight after you make that first left turn, you're on the expressway on 131 headed to Kalamazoo. And there have been a couple times when Mary has caught me going the wrong way. So to know where you are going, there are times in our lives when that's really important. I remember as a young man in college struggling with what was it that God wanted me to do with my life. I was considering pastoral ministry, but I also realized one ought to have a call to be a pastor or really any other kind of Christian service. And so I struggled with that for a while until I really sensed that God was calling me to be a pastor. I remember when I was a student at Barnard College, about to graduate, and that school back in those days had a school annual, and there were pictures, larger pictures for the seniors. And one of the things we were asked to do was to put down a life verse. That was something I had never thought about before, a life verse. And the verse that I chose, and several other of those in my class chose that verse as well, was verse 12. And that's why I wanted to add that the reading today. To know where you are going is an important thing. There's a story, an old story. It's Alice in Wonderland. You probably heard this before. Alice says to the cat, the Cheshire cat, would you please tell me which way I go from here? And the cat said, well, where is it that you want to go? Depends on where you want to go, how to get there. And Alice said, "Well, I don't much care where." And the cat said, "Well, then it doesn't matter which way you go." Sometimes in the morning, Mary will say to me, "What's on your agenda for today?" And sometimes I have some things I want to do, and other times I'll say, "I'm just thinking about it. I don't know for sure what I want to do today. To be sure, I have a long list of things I could be doing." And sometimes you have a choice which one of those things you do. Sometimes you don't. Paul had a specific goal. His goal was to obey the command of God. And if you look at that passage, chapter 1, verses I read for you, in verse 5, you find what the command of God was. The goal of Paul's life was love, the kind of love which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. That command is for you and I as well. A love. And it's not as easy as it sounds. From a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Love is something that comes from the heart, but kind of love, the quality of love, a pure heart, a good conscience, a sincere faith. I read these two little stories. Jack's mother ran into the bedroom because she heard screaming, and she found Jack's two-year-old sister pulling his hair. Gently, she released the little girl's grip and said to Jack, "They're there. She didn't mean it. She doesn't know that it hurts." She barely got out of the room, and the little girl was screaming, and she rushed back in. She said, "What happened?" Jack said, "She knows now." And a little boy, he had a new baby brother. And the baby brother was just crying and screaming and making lots of noise. And so he said to his mom, "Where did he come from? Where did you get him?" And the mother said, "He came from heaven." And the little boy said, "Wow, I can see why they threw him out." How do you get a pure heart? How do you get a good conscience? How do you get sincere faith? And the only way is from one who has a pure heart, good conscience, a sincere faith. The only way we can is from Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." By looking at Jesus, by reading the Gospels, by reading God's Word, we are transformed into his image. There are a lot of things that people look at today that transforms them, but it's not into the image of Christ. I've used this illustration before, but I remember when I was a little boy and played Little League Baseball, and I watched, you know, we didn't have as many games on TV back then, but when I could, I'd watch a Tiger baseball game, and one of the great players, I'll say, for the Detroit Tigers was Rocky Colavito. And Rocky Colavito had a ritual every time he came up to bat. Do anybody remember Rocky Colavito? Yeah, he was a power hitter. And, of course, I'm a little leaguer. I'd like to be a power hitter, too. And by watching him and following his example, I thought, maybe it'll work for me. And so one of the things I remembered about Rocky Colavito was before he batted, he was coming up to the batter's box, and he put the bat behind his neck, put his hands around it, and he would just scratch. So I thought, well, that's a good idea. So I'd do that too. And then, we didn't have cleats. We had tennis shoes. But Rocky Colavito had cleats, and when he stepped into the batter's box, he would take his bat and he would tap his spikes to knock the dirt off. Well, I took my bat and I knocked the dirt off my tennis shoes. There wasn't any dirt there. And then I batted. Well, I don't know how much I looked like Rocky Colavito. Probably not very much. But I can tell you I didn't bat like Rocky Colavito. But my point is, here was somebody that I wanted to be like, and so I tried to copy him, at least as far as baseball was concerned. How do we have a pure heart, a good conscience, a sincere faith? It is by looking to Jesus, by reading the gospel. Paul was a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, by looking to God's word. Now, Paul deals in these letters with false teachers, and he says anyone who has a teaching that is contrary to the gospel that he has preached, the gospel that would be recorded in our New Testament, he said, you should avoid that, but instead look to the true gospel, and that would be the way to judge teachers and to be the person that God has commanded you to be. I'll close the message with this story. Back in the 1900s, a man by the name of George Riddell acquired a sensational London newspaper. It was called the News of the World. And he had a meeting with a British journalist, Frederick Greenwood. And Riddell mentioned that he was the new owner of the newspaper. And he told Greenwood its name and offered to send him a copy of the paper. The next time they met, Riddell asked Greenwood what he thought of the News. That was the name of the paper. It was one of those sensational papers. And Greenwood said, I looked at it, and then I put it in the waste paper basket. Then I thought, if I leave it there, the cook may read it. So I burned it. Sometimes I think there are people that want to treat the Bible that way. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to read it. And there are things that perhaps we look at and we read that maybe we should burn. We need God's word. And the Apostle Paul was telling young Timothy in the church at Ephesus to look to God's word for guidance and direction. Heavenly Father, help us to understand that we are called, each one, in our lives and our place, to serve you and to minister in your name. And help us to do it with that quality of love that Paul speaks of. And help us to look to Jesus and to the gospel, to your word, for guidance. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our order of service is found on page 12 in the front of the hymnal. We'll just use a portion of this order this morning. Hear the words of invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Please join me for the prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Pray silently now. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus shared a meal with his disciples. And during the course of the meal, he broke bread and he had them eat. And he told them that this was his body given for them. And then later in the meal, he passed the cup. And he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for sin, for you." And he said, "Drink and eat this in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, as we receive these elements of bread and grape juice, may they become spiritually for us the body and blood of Christ. And in receiving them, may we receive anew Christ into our lives, his forgiveness, and his presence and help as we strive to live as believers in Jesus. We ask this in his name. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are helping serve to come forward now. Before we sing our last hymn, I have an announcement I need to make. I'll just tell you a little story. Every Sunday when we come to church, along the way, there's this old, gnarly tree. It's dead. It's been there a long time. And when I go by, I say to myself, why don't those people cut that dead tree down? They never have. It's still there. And I said to myself, I don't want to ever become that old, dead, gnarly tree. And Mary and I have been thinking about this for some time, probably over a year now. It's been a great honor, a great privilege for me to be pastor of the Saugatuck Church here for 8 years now. And for lots of reasons, not just one particular reason, we have decided it's time for us to retire completely. And I've talked to the district superintendent about that, and we have agreed that I will finish until the end of this year, and then at the beginning of the year there will be a change that takes place. And the staff pastor parish committee will be working with the DS in that regard. So it's not easy to make these announcements, and just want you to know we have great appreciation for each one of you. Let's stand as we sing our last hymn. There's a wideness in God's mercy. Stand if you're able for hymn number 121. Please join me for the benediction as it's printed in the bulletin. Grant us, O Lord, that which we have spoken with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and that which we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.